Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the State Bank Financial Results for the fourth quarter 2013 conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, January 30th, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joe Evans, Chairman and CEO of State Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning and greetings from snowy Atlanta. Thank you for joining our call. As is customary, I'll begin with some general comments about quarter and the year. Then Tom Callicutt, with the help of Jeremy Lucas, our investor relations officer, will discuss the fourth quarter results. And then finally, Kim Childers, our executive risk officer, will talk about credit quality and the covered asset portfolio. After the prepared remarks, we'll open the line for questions. Let me also remind you that our fourth quarter and full year earnings press release, financial supplementary tables, and slide presentation that we'll reference on this call are available in the investor section of our website, statebt.com. And also to remind you that all of our comments on this call are subject to the forward-looking statement cautionary note in the press release and on slide 2 of our slide presentation. Before I get into the financial results on slide 3, I want to first just talk about what I think was a tremendously successful 2013. This past year, I saw State Bank mature significantly as an organization in so many ways all across the company. Some of this may not be evident to outside observers in the short run, but the solid foundation that came into being over the course of this past year lets us begin 2014 with much more momentum than was the case even a year ago. Since day one at State Bank, replacing covered assets with organically generated assets has been a top priority. And in 2013, we made continued progress toward that end by growing non-covered loans $189 million, or more than 20% over the course of the year. Commercial real estate has been and continues to be a very successful area for us, but we continue to develop and pursue other verticals where we can safely and profitably grow the bank going forward. The success of these efforts is evident in the fact that nearly 20% of the growth of 2013 came from areas other than CRE, and this has measurably improved over past years. Part of our success in diversifying the portfolio comes as a result of making some very good new hires, particularly in the Atlanta market. And this includes bankers in the private and professional banking area, commercial banking, and in home builder finance. Additionally, we recently added some significant experienced leadership in our mortgage area in Atlanta. Mortgage has historically been a very small piece of our operation, and we expect that to change going forward. As I've said many times, I believe the greatest single determinant of a bank's franchise value is in the quality of its deposits. And we continue to increase core deposits as a result of having built what I consider to be world-class treasury capability, cash management, and payroll processing expertise. We believe we have a tremendous competitive advantage in this area and can bring in a significant amount of new business, particularly in Atlanta. We expect this capability to be a major driving force in our business development as we look ahead. I'm also very pleased with what we've accomplished in our special assets division. They've done a remarkable job resolving the covered assets that we required in the failed bank acquisitions. We've acquired over $3.5 billion of covered assets from the FDIC since 2009. And as of the end of 2013, our covered loan balances were less than $260 million. And a majority of those remaining covered loans are performing acceptably graded assets that are being serviced by the general bank. From year-end 2012 to December 31st, 2013, we resolved almost 1,000 loans and decreased covered loans by $217 million in that year alone. From where we sit today, the path to the expiration of lost share is in view with a great deal of clarity. And I'm highly confident in our ability to wind it down, come to the end of that program with a very smooth landing. I'm also pleased with the flattening trend in our non-interest expenses. After you adjust for severance expenses, loan collection, and OREO expenses, and a full year's operation of the Altera payroll company that we acquired at the end of 2012, expenses were up less than 1% on a year-to-year comparison basis. Finally, I want to mention the significance of adding David Brown, Executive Vice President of Corporate Development, to our team this past November. David adds significant horsepower to our M&A efforts. David and I have got a long and profitable relationship. As an investment banker, he represented Flag Bank in our 2006 sale to RBC, and in subsequent years, I was very pleased to be a partner with him in the very successful Sagas Fund, which we liquidated in the fourth quarter of 2012. He knows this industry, he knows how to make money in M&A, and is a very meaningful shareholder in State Bank. I think that's a pretty powerful combination. Very glad to have him on our team. In summary, we're in the late innings of a very profitable phase of failed bank assimilation and distressed debt liquidation. We built a mature organization and believe we have all the necessary ingredients, capital, infrastructure, and talent to significantly and profitably grow this franchise and create meaningful shareholder value in the next chapter of the life of State Bank. Now moving on to the financial results on slide 3. Very pleased to report $9.4 million of net income in the fourth quarter, which provided a solid finish to 2013. Tom will review the specific components that drove that fourth quarter result, but I want to talk a bit more about full-year comparisons on the right-hand side of slide 3 as we continue to experience positive fundamentals in the core bank. Interest income on non-covered loans increased 10%, or $5.7 million in 2013, to $61.2 million, up from $55.5 million in 2012, as organic loan growth was very solid in the year, and the pipeline trends and our expectations for 2014 just remained very solid. Additionally, interest expense was down nearly 19%. Year over year, and our cost of funds was down 2 basis points to 37 basis points. We recorded a lower provision for loan losses on non-covered loans in 2013 while maintaining a steady allowance for loan losses. That's a direct reflection of the quality of the loans that we booked and the excellent performance of that portfolio. Non-interest income, excluding FDIC receivable amortization, increased $4.2 million in 2013, with over half of that increase related to payroll fee income. And I'm just very excited about the momentum of our payroll business going into 2014 and the impact of that dynamic payroll program growth that is having on the rest of our commercial program. Payroll is a driving force in building new commercial relationships at State Bank, and we have high expectations about what that specific program will do for us going forward and also the secondary benefits of the other things that we'll do for those relationships. We were also very successful in 2013 in expense management. As I mentioned earlier, the adjusted non-interest expense year over year was up less than 1%. Slide 4 shows our loss share progression since end of 2012. The indemnification asset decreased by $53 million in the quarter and ended the year at $103 million. This is down 71%, or $252 million, since year-end 2012. That's just incredible progress on the success that the Special Assets team has had in resolving covered assets. Of the $103 million of indemnification asset remaining, $49 million is scheduled for amortization with a weighted average life of 3 quarters. Offsetting this amortization is $185 million of remaining accretable discount as of the end of 2013. The accretable discount's got a weighted average life of nine quarters. Again, as we made this comparison in previous quarters, if you simply take the remaining accretable difference minus the scheduled future amortization, there's $136 million of contribution to future earnings that'll flow through the income statement based on our current cash flow projections. Slide five shows the indemnification asset for Security Bank, Buckhead Community Bank, our two largest loss share transactions, along with First Security National Bank, which are also the first three to expire. Security in July of 2014, and then Buckhead and First Security National in December of 2014. These three banks represent $61 million, or 59% of the total FDIC receivable outstanding at the end of the fourth quarter, $21 million of which is scheduled to be amortized, leaving us just about $40 million to collect on these charters. As a reminder, not all of the loss share on these charters will expire this year. The FDIC receivables on these three charters include both the 415A and 415B designation, with the 415Bs being the larger amounts comprising the five-year non-single family assets, while the 415A comprises the 10-year loss share coverage on the single family assets. And I just want to restate that we're just highly confident in our ability to effectively manage these loss share agreements to expiration. And although, as you notice this quarter, pool closings still creates some volatility in the quarter-to-quarter earnings that we recognize here, but the magnitude of the remaining economic impact of this program is significant, and as I said, something that we see with a great deal of clarity and confidence. Moving on to slide six. As previously mentioned, we continue to experience positive operating trends in the core franchise. Efficiency initiatives have positively impacted expenses, allowing us to reinvest in the future and also to upgrade our production capabilities. Our deposit funding mix continues to improve as we are leading with our payroll, our payments, and our treasury expertise. And as we stated earlier, we think we carry a very healthy loan pipeline into 2014. Compared to where we were a year ago, I believe we are even better positioned to be opportunistic, both organically and through acquisitions, in growing this franchise. But still, we acknowledge that there are no free lunches out there in this marketplace. But as I look around at the capabilities of other people in this space, it's hard for me to find anybody whose place I would change. I'll be back to wrap up at the end of the comments, but now I want to turn it over to Tom Callicutt. You will notice Tom's voice is challenged this morning, and I think he's going to let Jeremy Lucas help him with some of this. Tom?
Thank you, Joe. I seem to have lost my voice, so I'll let Jeremy do it so you can maybe understand it. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, Tom. I'll be reviewing the financial results slides beginning on slide 7. Net interest income for the fourth quarter was $64.4 million, which is up from $44.4 million in the third quarter of 2013. The linked quarter increase in net interest income was driven by $20.1 million higher accretion income on our covered loan portfolio due to higher gains from loan pools closing out in the quarter compared to last quarter, as well as record high quarterly interest income on non-covered loans, which was driven by an increase in average outstanding loans. Additionally, interest expense continues to tick lower, reflecting our improving deposit mix, which contributes to a low cost of funds. Continuing with slide 7, non-interest income, excluding indemnification asset amortization, was $4 million in the quarter, down from $4.5 million in the prior quarter, due primarily to no securities gains recorded in the fourth quarter compared to $717,000 in the third quarter. the contribution from Altera Payment Solutions continues to exceed expectations as payroll fee income was $152,000 higher than the third quarter and $257,000 higher than the fourth quarter of 2012. The chart on the bottom right of this slide shows our net revenue contribution from the covered portfolio, which is accretion income net of amortization of the FDIC receivable, which totaled nearly $17 million in the fourth quarter. Moving on to slide 8. Total non-interest expense for the quarter was $22.7 million, which is down $406,000 from $23.1 million in the third quarter and down $2.1 million from the year-ago level, after recording approximately $2.6 million of one-time severance costs attributable to efficiency actions in the first 9 months of the year. We did not record any one-time costs in the fourth quarter. Salaries and benefits were also lower for the third straight quarter. Turning now to slide 9, we did experience a dip in period-end non-covered loan balances. However, average non-covered loan balances were up $4.1 million from the third quarter and $189 million from the end of 2012. As our CRE business focuses on interim financing for the acquisition and repositioning of commercial properties through the point of stabilization, it is expected the portfolio will continue to experience period-to-period volatility due to occasional timing differences between originations, fundings, and payoffs. We are pleased with their transition of our loan portfolio, as Joe mentioned, as non-covered loans as a percent of total gross loans ticked higher to 81% from 80% last quarter, and our covered loan balance declined 46% to $217 million year-over-year and now stands at $257 million. Additionally, we continue to experience steady growth in non-interest-bearing deposits. Period-end seasonality, concentrated in a few large accounts, once again impacted our end-of-quarter non-interest-bearing deposit balances, which increased nearly $48 million in the fourth quarter after declining $9.7 million in the third quarter. However, most importantly, average non-interest-bearing deposits increased $8.8 million from the third quarter and over $50 million year-over-year. Average non-interest-bearing deposits at the end of 2013 made up over 20% of average total deposits, which was up from less than 10% just 3 years ago. And our concentration of deposits and funding mix continues to improve, while our cost of funds of 37 basis points is down 1 basis point from the prior quarter and 2 basis points from the end of 2012. This concludes my remarks, and I will now turn the discussion over to Kim.
Thank you, Jeremy, and good morning, everyone. I'll begin my comments by reviewing the non-covered portfolio on slide 10. Our non-covered portfolio continues to perform very well. Non-covered NPAs declined by almost $600,000 in the quarter to $3.3 million as non-performing loans and ORE both decreased. Non-performing non-covered loans represent 21 basis points of total non-covered loans, while the non-covered ORE balance remains low at less than $1 million. And even at that low amount, the recently closed Jonesboro branch, along with our closed Pinehurst branch, account for over 80% of the non-covered ORE balance. Regarding our allowance for non-covered loan losses, in the fourth quarter, we again posted greater recoveries than charge-offs, marking four of the past 5 quarters where we experienced net recoveries on non-covered loans. No provision for loan losses was needed on non-covered loans in the fourth quarter, as the non-covered allowance as a percent of non-covered loans increased to 1.48% and exceeded non-covered NPAs by 5 times at quarter end. Turning to slide 11, I'll discuss our covered ORE balances. Over 98% of our ORE balances are covered by the FDIC, and all new inflows resulting from loans in the quarter are covered. As Joe mentioned, our special assets division continues to be well on track as it resolves problem assets. In 2013 alone, nearly 500 properties totaling over $95 million were transferred to ORE status. Successful marketing efforts in special assets resulted in the sale of over 550 parcels of ORE in 2013, leaving us with a covered ORE balance of $46.2 million at the end of the fourth quarter of 2013. In 2014, loss share will expire on 8 of the 12 covered commercial loan portfolios we have. These 8 portfolios totaled almost $2 billion at acquisition, and as of year-end 2013, had an aggregate carrying value of just under $150 million. Of that amount, $31.5 million is ORE and is experiencing brisk sales activity. We estimate that after fourth quarter 2013 certificate claims are paid, we will have remaining only $6 million of loan indemnification asset not scheduled for amortization on those 8 portfolios. Appropriate servicing of our covered assets has been a focus from day one, and today we find ourselves fully prepared as the expiration of loss share approaches on commercial portfolios. I'll now turn our discussion back over to Joe to wrap up.
Thank you, Kim. In closing, fourth quarter of 2013 was what I consider to be the capstone of what was just a very good year in which we matured significantly, made significant progress on the migration toward the end of loss share, and set the stage for what we think will be an exciting next chapter of State Bank. With that, I'd like to open the line for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. And if you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. As a reminder, that is the 1 followed by the 4 to register a question. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from the line of Christopher Marinac with Fig Partners. Please proceed.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning. Joe and team, can you elaborate a little bit on, I guess, what you see in your loan pipeline on the non-covered side and maybe what's an appropriate kind of base for kind of loan expectations this year?
Tom, you want to take that? Tom Wiley's sitting in here, and he's closer to ground level on that than I am.
I'll be happy to. Thank you. Chris, you probably heard Joe mention the verticals that we have introduced actually is part of our plan for 2014. It's one that we actually started early last year, a private professional that focuses on law firms and accounting firms. This year, not-for-profits, which include churches, but also charitable organizations, and had some fairly brisk performance also in our government space, which is city and county municipalities. We've hired 4 new folks in the fourth and early this year to focus on those verticals, as well as treasury professionals to support them. Pipelines are brisk. We had some significant payoffs in the fourth quarter, but we're back to close to the base that we ended the third quarter. That helped.
Great. It does. And I guess on the point of payoffs, Tom, can you see or have visibility on sort of your payoffs either being less in the future or just having a good read for how they'll be the next few quarters?
I think it's the nature of what we have intentionally done from a pricing standpoint. We keep it short, and it will have volatility, but I think it will be up one quarter, perhaps slightly down the next, but don't see any change in the increase that we've experienced throughout the year. We think we will see that same increase for this year.
Yeah, Chris, there's nothing that leads us to believe that the progress of building a loan portfolio is any lower than the trajectory we've been on since we started.
Okay.
These real estate projects are they are relatively short in nature, and they're relatively large. And it just happened that, and if the projects are successful, they will be taken out by permanent financing from capital markets. And again, it's that they're the total volume of originations that go on in this space is pretty large relative to the rate of outstandings growth, simply because we've been at this now, what, almost 5 years, and these were expected to be, most of these projects have a 3 to 5 year expected life from repositioning to stabilization. And, you know, the portfolio is maturing to a point that you're just going to get some significant payoffs from time to time.
Great. I follow. And I guess this last question just has to do with, I guess, the higher amortization and the higher accretion we saw this quarter. Does that portend any differences as you look at the first quarter or second quarter of this year?
Chris, I don't.
Chris, from quarter to quarter, I don't think you can take anything that happened in the fourth quarter and draw any conclusion, for better or for worse, about first quarter. It's the early payoffs are driven by activity,
right.
And if when they happen, you get them, and when they don't, you don't. And there's the activity that went on in the fourth quarter doesn't have any bearing on what is likely to happen in the first.
Got it. Just wanted to clarify. That's great. I'll yield the floor. Thanks very much, guys.
And our next question comes from the line of Jennifer Demba with SunTrust. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, Jennifer.
Just a question for David. Just curious about what you're seeing in the M&A pipeline and if there's been any change to the kind of bank you guys are looking for geographically or size-wise at this point.
Jennifer, David's not sitting in here with us, but
okay.
I'll take that.
Sure.
There continues to be active discussion. And I don't know that what we're looking for has materially changed. The priorities are the same as we have talked about for several years now. Number one priority is to get bigger in Metro Atlanta. In market deals or would probably be priority number one. And then followed by, we very much have an openness to enter complementary MSA markets with good management teams, with good growth prospects, where the opportunities present themselves. And, you know, as I've said it's so many times, there are no free lunches out there in the business of trying to make money through acquisition, and you have to kiss a lot of frogs. But as evidenced by the fact that we brought David on board, we certainly see opportunities worth seriously exploring and worth committing some significant resources to.
Which other MSAs would be of interest to you at this point, Joe?
I don't know that I really want to go there.
Okay.
You know where we have been in years past. We're not talking about going terribly far afield.
Mm-hmm.
Not afraid to cross the state line as long as we're talking about things that are in a reasonable proximity of Atlanta.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Our next question comes from the line of Kevin Fitzsimmons with Sandler O'Neill Asset Management. Please proceed.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Kevin.
Can we talk a little bit about, I know the reported margin was so dominated by the accretion income this quarter, but if I'm doing my math right, I'm backing into a core margin that actually compressed at a pretty good clip linked quarter. And can we, is that, first of all, is that right? And if you can kind of just go into some of the reasons there on how you view the core banking margin excluding accretion income. Thanks.
Two things. We continue to be in a competitive pricing environment, and the new assets that we're putting on don't have as much spread in them as what we put on in the past. The second thing is the same thing is true in the investment portfolio, that as investments mature and are reinvested, the replacement yields aren't as good as what we had on in the past. So that's just a function of rolling assets, both investments and loans, in a pretty low interest rate environment.
Okay, and if I could just follow up, Joe, on the, you know, obviously the decline in loans this quarter, non-covered loans this quarter, you said was driven by payoffs, and that could be very lumpy. But as we look out, I mean, if the payoffs do what you all think they're going to do, is this more of a gradual return to positive growth? And is it something that you can peg at, like, well, maybe we start at an annualized mid-single digit, or do we jump right back into a high single digit, low double digit type of growth in that book, which is, from what I remember, what you guys were doing before? Thanks.
Yeah, our growth expectations have not diminished. I mean, you clearly, you can say the same. You know, if you look at our commercial deposits, you'll see some of the similar dynamics. There's a lot of activity in the relationships that we bank, and average outstandings are probably a better measure of how it's going than period end balances, and period end balances just have some volatility. But no, there's absolutely nothing that is changing our expectation about the pace at which we can grow this balance sheet.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Blair Drantley with BB&T Capital. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Blair.
A couple of questions. Ty, going back to the non-covered loan yield, it actually ticked up 1 basis point. Is that just a function of the mix for the quarter with the paydowns, where there's lower yielding paydowns?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, so going forward, we should project, you know, further lower yields for the non-covered book. Is that something that we see, like, the pace picking up in terms of compression, or is it just kind of a steady decline? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be steady. There's nothing radical going on. You just have an environment where there's a lot of capacity chasing what activity is out there. And there's just there's this ongoing, fairly steady pressure on pricing. But I would absolutely characterize it as a steady compression, nothing precipitous.
Okay. And then just kind of thinking about 2014 overall, if things progress as we think they may, all else being equal, obviously the fourth quarter was somewhat different with the pay down for the pool. Are you still thinking that the back half of 14 is where you're really going to see the big EPS jump with the benefit, with the offset of the amortization pretty much going away by the end of the year?
Well, you know, you've got the amortization. Okay,
yeah.
The amortization, the end of amortization is something that we can see with a lot more clarity than we
mm-hmm.
can the recognition of the income. So you certainly, I mean, it's pretty much mathematical that as the loss share agreements expire, you're going to see a significant drop-off in amortization. But the timing of the recognition of the remaining accretable discount is going to be largely driven by the pace of prepayments.
Okay, so maybe I'll ask it a little better way. So in thinking about in previous conversations, too, with the amortization, it's more front-end loaded. So as we get closer to the end, that amortization should be trending down, all else being equal.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Jefferson Harrelson with KBW. Please proceed.
You may have mentioned it, but we had the tick down in expenses this quarter. From here, do we expect expenses to be non-interest expenses to be down a little more or flat or up a little bit as you grow?
I think you're going to be in a fairly tight band. There are a couple things happening. We are starting to deal with the expense side of the wind down of special assets, and there will clearly be a downward trend in the expenses that we've got related to servicing the special asset portfolio. But the flip side of that is that the expectation is that we're going to be reinvesting that in producers. My perfect world expectation is that we will, as we wind down special assets, we trade that off with production resources. Maintain a reasonably flat expense structure that's coupled with some pretty good growth.
I got it. That makes sense. Thanks a lot. I'll pass it on.
Okay.
And our final question comes from the line of Peyton Green with Stern Agee. Please proceed.
Yes, good morning, Joe. Wondering just if you could talk maybe a little bit about, if we look out over the next year or two, and let's assume maybe no M&A happens. I mean, how much benefit do you think you can get from an improving economy versus, I guess the productive capacity of the firm, added about $200 million year over year in core loans. Is the capacity of the personnel currently, is it pretty close? Have you used up your kind of excess capacity, and that's why you need more sales capacity in the company, or is it just simply we've just evolved? We need to grow more to absorb capital and liquidity.
There's a lot of evolving going on. There's been a fairly a steady upgrading of productive personnel. One place that we are will be adding production capability is in the payroll payments category. We think we can significantly step up the pace of the growth of the payroll payments component of the company, and use that growth as a meaningful door opener to broader commercial banking relationships. So. From a pure lending standpoint, I think we've got a lot of capacity to absorb additional growth. But as mentioned earlier, we just added some significant leadership in the mortgage area. We'd be looking to add some producers there in a line of business that we historically have just dabbled. And then also trying to crank up the Alterra payroll program to something that is much more meaningful to our overall bottom line than it is right now.
Okay. And then second question is, if I just kind of step back and look at the average earning asset growth year over year, fourth quarter 13 versus 12, and the growth in the overnight money, it basically represents all of the earning asset growth. I mean, what has to happen for you to deploy that 21.5% of your earning assets in a more, EPS-friendly and return-friendly manner?
Yep. All right. You're talking about what do we do to get out of overnight money? and
yeah, I mean
else.
It's up to about it's up to about $500 million now, or 21.5% of the earning asset base.
Yeah, I think you have to find we have to find places that where the nominal yield relative to the maturity risk, and also relative to the risk and the administrative cost of doing something else, looks like a good value to us. And I've said this before. Sometimes in the investment area, a short term, no risk, zero looks a little bit better than some of the other alternatives out there.
Okay.
I think we certainly saw over the course of last year, when the 10-year took a meaningful jump up, that a lot of strategies that were aimed at more short-term EPS wound up taking a pretty significant hit in other comprehensive income, because they were doing it at the expense of interest rate risk. So,
no,
yeah,
I understand. I just, but things change, and compared to a year ago, swap rates are up 100 basis points, and I mean, there is some. It's just a different environment. And I just didn't know if long rates had to go up another 100 or 200. I just kind of trying to get a perspective. That's all.
Let's just say they're better than they were this time last year. But yeah,
okay, but don't expect any material change.
I wouldn't say that don't look for any material change. Don't look for any material change in our risk-reward philosophy, but I do think that we will diminish our cash balances over the course of this year and find some things that do fit those criteria.
Okay, and I mean, I guess if loan growth, core loan growth ticked up, I mean, would you use that before you did anything on the deposit side, or are you more optimistic about deposit growth this year too?
I'm optimistic about both deposit growth and loan growth. So I think that look forward to another year, it's not at all unrealistic to see our non-interest-bearing deposits grow, to see our loans grow, and also to see some additional complexity in our investment portfolio that makes sense.
Okay. No, that's great. That helps. All Thank you very much for taking the questions.
Okay.
And our next question is a follow-up question from the line of Christopher Marinac with Fig Partners. Please proceed.
Joe, we've seen one or two banks do buyouts of FDIC loss share coverage. Is that still on the table as a possibility for this year, and would it be meaningful from a financial benefit?
Well, I think we talked about this before. There are reasons that early termination can be attractive both to the FDIC and to the assuming institutions, because of the ability to cut down on some trailing administrative costs. And I believe that there is reasonable motivation on both parties' parts to explore that. Now, beyond that, whether or not that happens, you've got a lot of large numbers to process. I think that's something that has a reasonable possibility, but there's enough complexity to it that I wouldn't assign a lot of probability to it. But like I said, it certainly is an interesting topic, and it's one that is getting, I think, not just with us, but with all similarly situated loss share participating banks, it's getting a lot of conversation.
Great. Thanks for that perspective. And just one last question. This is on deposits. Do you see deposit account growth and commercial account growth continuing, seeing that the deposit growth is still pretty good this quarter?
Yeah, with the same caveat that we said about our commercial loans, We had, if you recall, from a quarter end standpoint, in the third quarter, our quarter end balance was down from the prior quarter. It's upright considerably this quarter. If you look at the two quarters together on an average balance growth rate, you've got a pretty steady upward trajectory. And we're steadily adding relationships, but all of those relationships, the nature of being transaction accounts is that they do transactions. And there's at any given moment in time, there's a lot of money flowing in, flowing out. All that being said, we think that there is a steady upward trajectory in the transaction accounts generally, in processing, in payroll processing, all of which has an upward lift to the general level of our not just non-interest-bearing balances, but our low-cost interest-bearing balances. But at the same time, it's very susceptible to quarter-end fluctuations up and down that don't necessarily, either for better or for worse, give you a clear picture of what the long-term trend is.
Got it. Great, Joe. Thanks again for all the color.
Good.
And ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a reminder, it is the 1 followed by the 4 to register a question. And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you all for being with us. I hope most of you are in places that is warmer than where we sit. And look very much to following up with you over the course of the next quarter and talking to you again. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.